And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF Kyle High with you this morning. We hope your day is well. Currently, it is 67 degrees outside. Feels absolutely perfect out there. And joining me on the phone this morning is, of course, Representative Jim Kelly. And Mr. Kelly, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning, Kyle, and it is a good day. I hear you're making a trip to Erie, so
yes.
You'll have a nice evening for that.
Oh, absolutely. The weather should be beautiful tonight, and I get to sit on top of the press box, so I'll have just basically a panoramic view of the area, which I'm definitely excited about going out there tonight for what should be a pretty good football game. All right.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Well, sir, let's go ahead and get started. And, of course, a few things you did want to talk about. But today, one of the things you want to talk about, all good new stuff today. Today is Constitution Day.
It is. September 17th, 1787, the signing of the Constitution 234 years ago. And when you look at that document, they did a pretty good job that it still... It still is being used today, and amazing the foresight that they had.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like you said, back in 1787 today, but on this day in 1787, again, it got signed by a majority of the delegates attending the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, which, again, you just have to think about, you know, where that was signed at, how much history is in that building. I would love to go up there and tour the building just to know that, how much history was made in that building. It's just incredible to think about.
It is. So you have to put that on your bucket list, Kyle.
Yeah, I definitely will. I got to get up to Philadelphia sometime to check it out, because that whole city has a lot of history in it. I'd like to check out that city. My parents have been there. They said that Independence Hall is incredible, though, so that I need to put it on my bucket list, like you said. Also, I wanted to talk about the revenue for the state, and the revenue was up again for this past month.
Yeah, it really was. August, which would be the second month of the fiscal year, it was $113 million, 22% above estimates. So in the 2 months of the new fiscal year, it's up $172 million. So that is positive. And all the areas increased, individual income tax, corporate income tax, but the one that is... sales tax receipts were also up $16.5 million over estimates, which is a sign that shopping is occurring. And the other positive, that's really a new source of revenue to some degree. I mean, Kansas has been getting some of it, the internet sales tax, but a new legislation went in where third-party sellers on sites like Amazon and others are supposed to be collecting the tax, and it is continued to rise to $58 million, up $6.4 million above estimates. So all of those put together, when you look at the income tax, both individual and corporate, when you look at the normal sales tax and the internet sales tax, it gives you a little piece of hope that we're seeing the economy itself returning somewhat to normal and growing. So for Kansas, I think that's good news. And I know the Revenue Department is monitoring the internet sales tax to see, they call it the compensating use tax, to see if the third-party sellers are all collecting the tax like they are required to do. And if they do, that's a new source of revenue for Kansas. It'd be our residents buying online and from a third-party seller. And it's one of the things that at least helps put it on an even playing field for all of our retailers, that if you walk in to a hardware store or a clothing store, or that you pay the local and state tax. And this kind of makes that the same way, and is just a little extra boost to maybe get some more shopping at our retail businesses in Montgomery County and across the state.
What I did want to ask you, though, is with the revenue being up, is there a, like in Oklahoma, is there a rainy day fund in the state of Kansas?
Well, there is not necessarily what you'd call a rainy day fund. We do carry over extra, you know, extra money, and this last year it's been growing, and with this it could grow some, but not anything designated specifically as a rainy day fund.
Okay, I just didn't know if that existed or not, because I remember hearing about that in Oklahoma when that when their receipts would go over a certain amount, they would stash the extra funds into that account, and if it needed to be used, they would raid into it, which I do believe they had to do last year, because obviously because COVID-19 just kind of you know, ruined everything pretty much last year. So
changed a lot, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It changed everything quite a bit. That is for sure. Also, you want to talk about graduation state graduation in the state of Kansas. It's actually going pretty good right now.
Yeah, it really is. You know, that was one of the big emphases that was made when you know, Randy Watson from Coffeyville went in as Kansas Education Commissioner, was to improve the graduation rate, and a goal was set of 95% for everyone, and no state has hit that yet. Kentucky and Iowa are at 94%. The U.S. average is 88%, and so in the past 6 years, the Kansas high school graduation has risen from to 88.3%. So that is a gain of over that period of time. It's the highest percentage in state history. So that's positive, and the rate improved among students in poverty with disabilities. English learners, there's been an improvement in all the categories. So, I mean, that is really very positive. And, I mean, it's a lofty goal, 94%, when you look at the 50 states, and only no one has hit it. Only two are within a percent away from it. But that is Kansas is going the right direction, and that's positive.
And
I mean, the sobering thing is, though, you'd have 12% that did not graduate, and that's 4,000 to 5,000 students. So that's still a lot of students, but it's a tremendous improvement.
And also, I was just looking at something here about the unemployment rate here in Kansas, kind of hanging out at around the same rates. Last report that we got in July, holding at about 3.8%. Overall, would you say that is pretty good for right now, considering where we are at?
I think that you know, it looks good for where we're at. I mean, we all know that you can't walk too many places around our communities and not see help wanted signs in the windows. So, I mean, it's kind of in some ways, a terrific rate. On the other end, we've got a lot of people looking for employees. But, I mean, it's a sign that things are returning to normal. And, of course, we know we're still sitting out here looking at COVID. And when you watch the COVID numbers for Kansas and for Montgomery County on the rise, that it still gives you a little twinge to hope that we can keep this all headed on the right direction, and that those numbers will fall, so we won't reverse some with what we went through in last year.
Oh, absolutely. It's, I mean, it's interesting to look at these graphs because it shows like January back in January of 2011, that unemployment was about 100,000. It just kind of like gradually declined, looked really good. And as we got to January of 2020, it was actually below 50,000. And then you just see this humongous spike. And yes. I think we all know what that was there, and it spiked pretty hard for a couple of months, and then started to drop down a little bit. But it's amazing to look at that graph, how unemployment just gradually declined all the way from 2011 up to 2020 before the spike hit. But we're getting back down to, it looks like, those pre-COVID numbers, which, like you said, obviously there's still a lot of places hiring, and hopefully those positions get filled, but hopefully we're getting back to almost those pre-COVID numbers.
Yeah, that would be nice, and level out the economy and keep the numbers like the sales tax collections and all on the rise, because it's positive for the state and all of our communities that sales tax is a portion of the revenue, that things are getting back to normal and people are out getting closer to life as it was.
Another thing I did want to ask you is legislative session, of course, comes back up in January. So as of right now, do you have anything that you have on your mind that you're maybe wanting to bring up for the next legislative session?
Nothing. The next legislative session, I think, will still revolve around a lot of COVID issues, and will revolve around, you know, it appears that we said that it's Constitution Day today. There's a lot of constitutional questions that will probably pop up on what kind of legislation could a state do on various mandates and all from the federal government. And there'll be lots of looks at what we do with some of the federal money that will still be around for COVID. Last year was such a different year that things will come up that we haven't. We will be more back to normal then, and we'll have things come up to deal with in the second year of the legislative session that will be more normal type, things. I hope. I mean, I've got a couple in my committee on lending that will be coming up, and some changes to banking law. And in the rural development side of my committee, we're going to look at, actually, you know, Tricia Purdon, who was the MAC director, who's now the director of Kansas Rural Prosperity at the Department of Commerce. They are working on some initiatives that will probably, several of those end up in my committee, which is rural development, the second half of my committee. So we'll have some things that will be rural oriented, and I'm looking forward to that, but those aren't, none of those are actually in a bill form yet to begin to look at. But we are going to look at, and my committee will, the rural opportunity zone, which is, and Montgomery County is a rural opportunity zone county, and it's a way that we can attract and help businesses attract people to come in to work and to live in Montgomery County. And so that one will be have some positive changes to it. And we started on it at the end of last year, and we'll get back to it right when we get back into session this year and try to make those changes, which will be beneficial to counties with community colleges and technical schools in them, and all. So that's one I'm really looking forward to working with.
Well, sir, we got about 1 minute left. So if somebody would like to get a hold of you, if they have any concerns or something they would like to talk about, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me at either jim.kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at house.ks.gov, or at 620-332-3083. And Kyle, if I could mention as we close, one of the other things that I have been doing is filling in as interim director for the Action Council, until a replacement is found for Tricia. And we've got a third quarter board meeting coming up this next Thursday night at the, it's in Independence at the Country Club, and our speaker is Attorney General Derek Smith. And that dinner is available if someone, you don't have to be a MAC member to register for it. And so you can either call 620-331-3830 or get on the actioncouncil.com website, take a look at it, and register if you want. But it'll be an event that will have the Attorney General back in town. And, of course, he's a Montgomery County native, and that'll be kind of a good way to get to the end of next week.
Absolutely. Well, sir, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kyle, and have a great broadcast this evening in Erie.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is Representative Jim Kelly right here on the Mighty 690.